Hey, we're Eve and Paul from Infinite Eve, and you're listening to House of Noise.
Another episode of House of Noise.
What was wrong with you there for a minute? Did you have to think about whether what sex you were?
Welcome to another episode of House of Noise.
Oh my God. I'm sure people want to. They go, what the hell am I listening to?
Welcome to another episode of House of Noise.
We're here.
Why do you keep doing that?
Sorry.
Every episode.
So?
Welcome to another episode of House of Noise.
I don't even know if people understood what you just said. It's House of Noise, in case anyone was clearly wondering what they're listening to. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
This interview was with Eve and Paul.
Yep.
With Infinite Eve.
Yes.
They are actually a two-piece.
They are two-piece, like a two-piece bathing suit.
It's just the two of them singing if they try.
Oh, God.
I might cut that part out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
No, I'll leave it in. I think we've had too much Death Wish coffee. And it's not sponsored by Death Wish coffee, but it's yummy coffee, in case you care. Double the caffeine.
My Death Wish coffee is cold. Cold coffee. This is episode 33 in the book.
You're looking at me like, am I right?
That wasn't a question. That was a statement. Okay.
Apparently, you're looking at me in a very questioning manner.
This episode 33.
Oh God, this is when it's cool. Anyway, Infinite Eve, we talked to Paul
and Eve.
Just great.
Infinite Eve, yes.
Yeah, just about how they met, kind of like how the conglomeration of the two of them working together came about.
How they create the music they create, what they do while they do play, when they do play live.
And just some experiences with some drunk fans and, you know. And
I always ask this question to female-led bands. I always ask, you know, if they have issues with
creepsters.
Guys. Yeah.
Being a little too touchy.
Paul says that he has more problems with that than her. So
yeah, so
he must be a pretty good looking guy.
Yeah. And just kind of like his beginnings, and she talks, Eve talks about her being a parent, and you know, just we mentioned that her voice could be singing in like a Disney.
Yeah, she could. She does. You know? She to me sounds exactly like Eva Mendes from Frozen.
Yeah,
the one that plays the Ice Queen, or whatever you want to call her.
But yeah, it was just two of the nicest people.
Elsa.
Two of the nicest people we had the chance of talking to. And
you been watching any new shows lately?
Well, I just can't seem to get into Netflix right now. I don't know. I don't have a lot of time to watch television.
You really don't stray away from the five shows that you watch.
I don't have time to watch TV, and I'd rather not spend all my time in front of the television.
You still haven't even watched the new Terminator movie I bought.
Nope, I haven't.
That was pretty good.
I guess because I'm so busy with radio and I spend so much time in front of the television. I spend more time listening to podcasts and listening to music.
Yeah.
Read.
I do that too. You see, you read more than I do. I don't read.
I love to read.
Because I'm too busy listening to podcasts, listening to music, and watching shows.
Or I listen to Audible books too at work.
So I wanted to bring up, I started watching that new Netflix series, Lock and Key.
Oh, yeah.
It is super interesting, let me tell you. I mean, it's going, me and the kids are watching it.
Yeah.
I think we are four episodes in. But yeah, it's got my attention.
Yeah, you and the kids, you guys watch a lot of stuff. I don't.
If that's how we connect, that's how we connect.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm not Curtis. I'm just saying it's not my thing.
Well, I have one child that isn't here. I have three children. She's at a friend's. I got three children. I got three kiddos. Ah, so one of them isn't here. She actually is not a fan of watching television. She would rather play games, board games.
Yeah.
Or, you know, color, draw.
Yeah. See, I'm more, if I'm going to play a game, I'd rather play card games. I like card games like Uno and Spades and Euchre. Well, and
Lexi will play with you.
Yeah. Well, you need more people to play the Spades and the Euchre.
Well, I know that.
And, you know, I should teach Uno is Uno.
I need to teach my kids yes, how to play Euchre. Yes, you do. I have not taught them how to play Euchre yet.
You need to teach them how to do that and play Spades.
We might have to do that tonight.
Yep.
So
maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. Cause
oh, I'm not going to have time tonight.
No. Anyway. Let's let people listen to the interview with Paul and
Eve. Highly suggest watching that Lock and Key on Netflix. If you got Netflix,
okay,
watch Lock
and Key. I guess if you hear this episode, just watch it and then report back to us on House of Noise on Facebook. Which, let us know what you think.
You can go to Facebook and talk to us, or you can leave us a message on Anchor.
Yeah, look at that.
I don't know if there's a spot for leaving us a message on Spotify and Apple and iHeart and all that. I'll have to look next time we're on there. But yeah, definitely. If I think there's a link for Anchor. If you click on the link for Anchor, you should be able to go there and
Leave us a message.
Leave us a message.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think of the show, and we might play it on.
Tell us about your dog.
Yeah.
Or your pet. Pet of the week.
Hey, we love pets.
We love pictures of pets. Pictures of kitties and doggies.
Well, you can't send pictures over audio.
Well,
that's why you got to go to the Facebook page.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Show us your metal
Show
dogs.
Us your pussy. Just kidding. Please don't.
All right.
For all you perverted sons of bitches out there.
So there is an interview in this episode. So
there is.
Enjoy this episode with Eve and Paul.
Yeah, Eve and Paul. E&P.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Hi there. This is Paul. This is Paul. Is this Jenna?
This is, and Jim's here too. How are you, Paul?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Hey, Jim. Hey. Nice to meet you.
I know. They never add me in the email. I don't know why. I always get left out.
Aww.
Let me bring Eve onto the call. I'm going to merge her call into this, okay?
Perfect. Great.
All right. Hey, Eve, are you there?
Yep.
Awesome. I've got Jenna and Jim here.
Hey, Jenna and Jim.
Hey, welcome to House of Noise.
Thank you.
So I actually want to start off by saying I hear a similar sound in your voice as Idina Menzel from, she does the Frozen movies. Like I did it like
yes,
a side by
that's
side.
A compliment.
You have a very similar voice to hers, and it's very nice. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we were just talking about a lot of musicians in the music world that there seems to be a rise in females being the front runners, and I think that's great. And I'm just impressed with the vocal ranges that are just involved in the music. And I really like the diversity in your vocal range. It's very complimentary to the style of music you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you. It's funny you mentioned Idina Menzel because obviously, I grew up kind of in a classical and theater singing background, so Wicked was obviously in the repertoire.
That definitely explains why my little comparison really resonated with you too, because I know she did Wicked too.
Yes, absolutely.
So, how did you guys hook up, and how did that all come together?
I can take that one. we were gonna do. Let's see. I had a what happened? I had a guitar player, one of these like virtuoso guys, coming into town to play an amp show, and he called me and he had to cancel. So there was like a primo slot available at a local venue. And basically it was my responsibility to fill it. So we didn't have an artist to fill it. So I talked to a friend of mine And I said, hey, let's just throw a band together very quickly and we will fill the spot. And I said, do you have anybody you can recommend for vocals? He knew Eve through school, and we brought her in. We didn't do, but probably, I want to say something like two rehearsals. And then we did a full set at the show, and she killed it. And so we basically just started a kind of an on-again, off-again cover band from there.
Nice.
Yeah, that was, what, 2013?
Or earlier. I don't know if it was.
Maybe I don't remember. That was a while ago.
Right. Some time has passed.
Yeah, and then I guess how the band that we know today was built, it was years later. We hadn't done anything for probably like 3 or 4 years, and Paul was like, hey, do you want to do like a side project? And it was just the perfect time for me. And I was like, yes, absolutely. I've been kind of dying and itching musically and creatively, so sure. It ended up being perfect.
You guys, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and we decided to just keep it the two of us because we both have busy lives, mm-hmm. and we wanted to make sure that the writing and recording and playing live process was as streamlined as possible. And I love being in bands with 4 or 5 people, but when you have to do that with so many different schedules, it really can bog down. So we did it this way, so when we play live, we hire session players who we know can, you know, do a great job.
Okay. And that's interesting because sometimes, you know, it's almost easier to have 2 people in a band and just hire session players because you have less people coming in and kind of ending up diluting maybe a little bit of the creativity and the creative process. And have you found that, you know, that's been the benefit to just keeping it to the two of you, is that you guys have been able to keep the creative process and what you create pretty strong without outside influences?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I think there's positives and negatives to it. I think right now the positives outweigh the negatives. Positives being we can get things done really quickly because there's not 5 opinions going into every decision.
Right.
Negatives, I'd say maybe we miss a little bit of expertise in the writing process where maybe like someone who was, you know, we had a drummer going into all the drumming decisions. Maybe those lines would be a little bit more creative, but I think for now the positives outweigh the negatives.
Yeah. Are you still, each of you still involved in your respective careers? I know, Paul, you're part of the School of Music in the North Carolina Raleigh area, right?
Right. I run the Raleigh Music Academy, and that's my day gig.
Okay. And then,
yeah.
Eve, do you still do PR and social media?
I do have a daytime hustle, but right now it's not PR social media. It's kind of, if it was anything except for music, my dream job, it's sales at a pretty cool software company. Oh, okay. So very different.
Yeah, definitely.
You got to pay the bills. So
right.
You got to do what you got to do.
Right. Yeah. Music is not free, unfortunately, to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. Nobody gets rich being a musician nowadays, unfortunately.
Not yet anyway.
Yeah. Not yet.
I haven't rolled it out.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, what kind of ways or creative ways have you found to get your music out there? Because I know right now there's so many different avenues that musicians can take to put their music out.
Well, speaking from my perspective, I know you obviously cannot ignore social media because that's where everything has migrated to. So I will try to post guitar-oriented clips because that's obviously going to be my side of the territory. And it's kind of funny. If you're a member of enough Facebook groups, mm-hmm. you can get quite a number of views or listens and gain a few fans that way. So I think those Facebook groups especially and Instagram videos, every now and then some of those will go do really well. But that is, you know, trying to figure out what kind of video is going to go viral is also like playing the lottery. Exactly. So, you know, you just have to put a lot of content out.
I was literally just about to say playing the lottery. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do the same thing. We, you know, we're with a lot of different groups, and we post our videos and shows and everything else to lots of different groups, and we've gotten the best response from them.
Yeah, they're very, especially when you're engaging and you're active with all the other members, it pays off the most for sure. Because you feel like you're more of a family that way.
Right.
It still comes down to relationships, even though it's digital relationships, you know?
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does.
So has there been any issues, you know, being that you guys are a female-led band? I know there sometimes that can, I don't want to say cause problems, but like, I don't know. The world we live in, having a female-led band is kind of difficult at times.
I don't know if I've noticed any specific difficulties. You do have to be a little bit louder, which I don't know, just because I don't know if people think that, you know, I take it as seriously. It's like, oh, cute, she sings in a band.
Right, right.
Like, that's fun. Like, it feels a little Girl Scout-y sometimes when I tell people, oh, good for you, you know. But then when they actually listen to us live or hear us, and then we get a little bit of the clout, I guess you could say, once we did we called it an intimate set, because at the time it was just me and Paul that night, and Paul came fully prepared with all his really cool gear, and the comments we got from our intimate set, and they thought it was just some girl singing with a guy playing guitar, we got a great response. They're like, wow, that's the best intimate set I've ever heard.
Wow.
So you have to earn respect being a woman,
sure.
I guess.
For sure.
Well, I was kind of thinking in terms of, you know, there's a lot of creeps out there, so
yeah.
I'm sure Paul is very
yeah, the too. Creepy side, there's pros and cons. Like, are they gonna be creepy enough to like make it actually weird, or are they just gonna like maybe listen to your stuff and think you're cool and maybe make comments to you that other people maybe wouldn't? But if I was reversed, I would say, like, if I found a cool guy band and I thought the lead singer was awesome and hot, I'd probably be like, oh, make some comment, and it wouldn't be taken as severely as if a man said it to a woman.
Right, true. Yeah, very true, very true. There is that kind of double standard.
Yeah.
You know, almost.
So, Paul, do you play Big Brother, though, when you guys go out to shows? You kind of.
Well, Eve knows that I would play Big Brother, and I have no problem with that. However, we haven't had too many issues with that. Okay. People have been, you know, a lot of times in venues anyways, people are very protective of the band.
Yeah. Right.
Of the band.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
For sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I've had more experiences with like drunk guys coming up to me and saying stuff. So
yeah.
It hasn't been too bad.
What, I'm curious for you, Paul, before you were involved in, the school out there in, Raleigh, what was your interactions with the music industry? Cause you know, I don't know how old you are, but I can assume that you probably were involved in maybe a different capacity prior to running the school, or kind of like, what's your background?
Well, I mean, my history is that of a guitar instructor. So I was working, teaching out of music stores, typically. And I also did website design, which kind of, oddly enough, I mean, if you're going to say you won the lottery in some way, I did a web page one time about John Petrucci's guitars, and this was years and years ago.
Okay.
And out of the blue, John Petrucci and his wife contacted me.
No kidding.
And they just said, "Hey, can you give us a call?" So I gave him a call, and the next thing I knew, John had hired me to design his website. So I've worked with Petrucci since about, I think it was about 2000.
Wow.
And I did his stuff, and I used to do his merchandise and all that. So it was really cool because obviously I was already a huge Dream Theater fan, and to have some interaction with musicians like that. I'm going to be honest, that kind of thing is very, very helpful because a guy like that has huge coattails.
Oh yeah.
So, and he's super nice, and he's always been really good about, recommending somebody to talk to or whatever. So
yeah.
that was what I was doing before. I was teaching and I was doing websites. I had a little web business on the side.
Oh, okay.
But as far as more stuff in the industry, I didn't have a whole lot. I had a prog rock band in the 90s, but it kind of fizzled out.
Gotcha.
That was, anytime you do prog rock stuff, it's very, very, especially with five dudes.
Yeah.
Very, very hard to break into that area, you know?
Yeah. And generally, here in the States, I think people that formulate that kind of music have a harder time of it than
Europe. They don't have any issue with the prog rock. They love it over there. But in the States is not a little bit different crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I lived in Germany for a couple of years, and I would love to get our music over there in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
Simply because I know that in Germany, certainly in France, and in, of course, Scandinavia,
yeah,
that kind of thing would really go over well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. Did you ever hit Wacken when you lived in Germany at all?
I didn't. No, I did. Unfortunately, I was pretty poor when I lived in Germany. So I'm trying to think the only concerts I may have attended there. I went to see Yngwie Malmsteen.
Nice.
Man, I can't remember. Maybe a couple of others. But yeah, I didn't get to go see as many shows as I wanted there. But I definitely remember Yngwie because it was the loudest concert I've ever attended.
Yeah, I believe.
And he literally said from the stage, "I am destroying your ears." So,
oh, it was, my gosh. Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
So what kind of, like, let's go back to the beginning. We'll start with you, since we're already talking about your, you know, a little bit of your history. You know, how did you get into music, and what really inspired you to play?
For me, my folks had already always said, if you want to play an instrument, just let us know. And then I really got into things like bands like Queen and Journey.
Did your parents
and
play?
So, yeah.
So what kind of instruments did they play?
Well, my mom didn't, but she was a dance instructor, so there was always music on. But my dad was a sax and clarinet player for the Navy.
Oh, all right.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm a Navy man.
He's a Navy man, so.
Excellent. Well, they don't do that. I mean, I know they don't, like, assign those bands to, to admirals as much as they used to, or if at all. I'm not sure. I think they've really cut back on that stuff.
Well, I don't know. I haven't been in like 12 or 13 years now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Were you a musician?
No, I was aviation structural mechanic.
Okay.
You know, the guy had the fancy titles. I was a sheet metal worker, basically.
Right. But I got inspired by just guitar-oriented bands, and my guitar teacher basically blew my mind by handing me cassette tapes with Van Halen and Malmsteen on them. And from there, I was totally sold and totally into it, and started, you know, immediately forming bands and that sort of thing.
So was it initially the guitar that you really gravitated towards?
Not initially. I mean, because, like I said, I was into Queen. So Queen had great guitar stuff, but I was really blown away with just the songs themselves.
Yeah.
The structure and the you know, kind of the grandeur of those songs was intense.
So you knew.
So I was really.
I was gonna say, you knew you wanted to be in music. You just gravitated to the whole thing.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I'm always attracted to great guitar playing, but absolutely, I love song arrangements. And so, if I'm going to listen to anything in the song that's going to really pique my interest, it tends to be, how is this song navigating? Is it building any suspense? Is it leading somewhere? Or is it? That's why songs that are really, really repetitious, and end with a fade out, that kind of bugs me sometimes, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree.
Yeah, the fade out kind of drives me nuts. It's, yeah, it's like I need a beginning, middle, and an end. I can't.
Yeah,
it needs to just
absolutely
exactly. What's your musical experience, Eve? What kind of brought you into being a...
You said you were more classically trained too, so
yeah. Well, my mom, she was a double major with voice and piano. And so we had to have an instrument. Me and I just have one brother. And so my brother did violin, and I was always singing and annoying people with my voice. So I could always be found, like, you know, when Beauty and the Beast first came out. I have this memory of us moving into a new house, and I just stayed in the moving truck afterwards and just started singing Beauty and the Beast because the acoustics were so good. I didn't know that's why it sounded good, but I just stay in there, like, super little and just sing. And then one of the first Christmas presents I got this little cassette. I guess it was a mini karaoke player at the time with a little, like, mic on it. You know, they're like, they're white with, like, red and yellow. I'm sure we all saw that back in the day. And I would play Celine Dion, her stuff, and just sing it out my window. Try to, like, mimic her and sing as loud and as high as she could. And I remember the first day I ever sang a note loudly and high, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, wow, I sound kind of like her on that note. And from there, I got a little angstier when Avril Lavigne came out.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of started singing her stuff and writing my own songs, and then, you know, progressed to just trying to match different styles. But my instrument was voice, and so I think in seventh grade, my mom let me start voice lessons. And so that's when I started singing. And then I always wanted to be in a band. I always wanted to write and record, and that was always the goal. There was never a question of me doing anything else. So I was always going to sing and
Was it always a band, or was it more like the Celine Dion, like a solo type thing that you kind of?
I love the idea of a solo type thing, but I never really pursued it hard enough, I guess. I only have the instrument of singing. Like, I can plunk around on piano enough to be able to write songs, but not proficiently. And so with it just being me, I need the, you know, musical expertise of other instrumentalists.
You definitely do.
Well, I gotta say, I did do a little bit of Facebook stalking, and I was on your page, and I saw that. I saw that.
Doesn't sound creepy.
I know. I'm
It's a great, lead-in every time. I'm good with it. I stalk you guys too,
so
we're good.
Awesome.
Well, I saw that your son was playing piano, so it seems like you're trying to bring him up to kind of the same way that you were brought up too, and I really like that.
Yeah, I want him to have an instrument. He doesn't like to sing on command, but when he's by himself, I'll catch him singing and practicing his vibrato and doing different, like, speeds. He just turned four, so I try to not make a huge deal about it so he feels self-conscious, but inside my inner cheerleader is saying, yes, I hope you sing. But he will have an instrument for sure.
Very cool. That would be fun when, you know, when he gets a little older and you could do, like, a cool mother and son. Maybe you guys could even write a song together, or, you know, do something fun like that.
Well, I think it's important not to push the kids either. I got three of my own, and, you know, they, the two of them, they play instruments, and then my one daughter, she likes to sing. So
yeah, she does.
They have all gravitated to what they like. And like I said, well, I don't push them. I don't try to force them to do anything. It's just something.
And that's, I don't blame my mom for me not being proficient at piano, but she was my teacher, so you don't want to practice for your mom.
Right. Right. Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. I was going to ask you, you know, the Paramore cover, Conspiracy. How does that work when you want to cover an artist? Do you have to reach out to them first and say, you know, I really appreciate your artistry. I'd like to cover one of your songs just for, you know, legal reasons?
That's a question we never really asked before.
Yeah. Or is it
Paul. I'll let you jump in.
You have to secure a mechanical license, and you can either do that on your own, which is a little more cumbersome, which we did not do, or you can do it through a online distributor, and they will secure the mechanical license for you. So we did that through, I guess, CD Baby. But I think you can put up a YouTube cover. I'm pretty certain you can just put up, if you only put it on YouTube, you can put up the cover. And a matter of fact, when I uploaded our video, it sent me an email within 2 seconds, and it had identified the, once it had done processing, it identified the artist and the writers and the, you know, publisher, and sent me an email and said, any money made off of this video, you know, will be sent to these people. And that's, you know, obviously that's what we want. We don't care about that. Right, we just wanted to make the cover. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to sell it, though, you do have to have a mechanical license.
Okay.
And some distributors will do it, and many won't do it because it's, like I said, it's cumbersome.
Right. Sure. Yeah, we have a little similar issue because we have a podcast as well, and we can't play any music on there at all as if we have sponsorship. So unless we want to get some kind of license and everything else. So it's a huge pain in the butt, and I really wish we could play music on there, but I just don't want to get sued over playing a song. So.
You can play ours anytime.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. We're going to play your music on our show forever.
It's still, even if there's a verbal agreement, it's still tricky. I mean, I've done tons of research on it, so I just totally avoid the music altogether. I put links to all the websites and everything on there, so if people want to check it out for themselves, they can do that on their own.
And then what was the motivation behind picking that particular song? Was it something that fit within what you were guys, the overall message of your music, or was it just you really liked that song? Like, you know, I'm always curious about the motivations behind why people choose to do what they do.
For me, I've always loved that song. I actually hadn't heard the original version of it on their album, All We Know Is Falling. I had just been stalking them on YouTube as a tween, I guess. And I heard them do it live in a coffee shop.
Oh, nice.
And I loved the version of it, and I loved how she sang it, and I just really liked I liked the melody. It was really strong for me. And so, yeah, it was fun to do. So I was like, Paul, let's do this one.
Yeah, I love it too. We made it a little bit heavier, of course, but the cool thing is Paramore, the guitar player, did listen to it, and he replied, he sent us a message and said he really loved it and remembered writing the song in his basement.
Nice. So. Wow, that's
always good. I was gonna say, it's always great to get a compliment like that. It really really solidifies that you're doing something right, you know.
Yeah, it's we've had we talked to other bands where they've covered, like there's a band that we know that covered an Aerosmith song.
Dream On.
I know, I was getting to it. And we had asked them, you know, did you ever get like any kind of response from Steven Tyler? Do you know if he even heard it?
Members.
You know, yeah, or any of the members. So
they said no. Yeah, I mean, so you got to expect it sometimes that you're deaf. Most of the time you probably won't get a response.
Right. So that's cool that Paramore let, you know, that the guitarist actually listened to it and thought it sounded really good. And that's great. Kudos to you guys too.
Yeah, that felt cool. I was like, what? Cool.
Right, exactly. The, two, you know, this is an EP, so it's, you know, a shorter, you know, it's not an album. It's just a shorter version of an album. I always like to say EPs. is this something that, because of the way people
digest music
nowadays, that this is just something that you did and you're going to continue to release your music that way, or are you going to change it up and do a single at a time? Okay, what have you found works?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was talking to a guy in another local band, and I told him that we were releasing an EP. This was a few months back, and he's like, why? He's like, why are you releasing an EP? Like, why aren't you just doing singles? And I was like, well, we kind of want a unified kind of sound and message that people can identify with, and, you know, revert back to. So all those songs are in one place. Like, you know, you develop a kind of a love for those little albums or whatever, or that collection of songs. And he's like, oh, okay. But moving forward, I don't know. It kind of depends. We haven't really had that conversation, but I think singles are what we're going to do in the interim for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will definitely have singles out there, but we had a very good producer tell us that, you know, okay, that's cool, you want to put out singles. However, I can guarantee you the first thing that any major label is going to say to you, if they ever had interest, is what you got next.
Yeah.
Where's your other music? Mm-hmm. They want to hear other stuff right away. So he said it was infinitely better to have a body of work that they can listen to.
Yep.
And, you know, we discarded some of their ideas in favor of what you hear on the EP, because we think this represents the overall band sound the best. Mm-hmm. And I think that actually, since everybody is releasing singles, having an album or an EP out there sets you apart a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think you need to stand out. You have to fight to stand out in the music business right now, because it's, you know, but it's changes too, because it's based on people.
Ever constantly society. Changing. Yeah, it's kind of annoying, really. Well, I kind of like the idea of doing like an EP where you have a similar sound for each song on the EP. Then your next EP, you'd have a little bit, you know, try something a little different and kind of do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it gives the music a thread.
It does. Yeah, I do find it interesting. We played the story earlier in the show, and I know it looks like Beautiful Weapon. The story is a lyric video where Beautiful Weapon is not. Are you guys going to do an actual like story or a video for the story, or, you know, are you just going to keep it as a lyric video and then release another single off the EP?
Well, we haven't talked about that one. We have noticed that lyric videos seem to be the way of the world at the moment. Mm-hmm. however, I don't think anything's off the table as far as, you know, doing other videos.
Right.
It's just, it's a major time and money commitment, of course. So, because you don't want to put up anything that seems too hokey.
Yeah.
Not that we're not in that category now, but
no, you guys are definitely not in the hokey category. No worries.
Well, how many videos do you have total right now?
Is it? I think it's 4 up there. Am I wrong? Let me see. Yeah, Conspiracy, The Story, Beautiful Weapon, and I Wanted to Stay.
So how did you guys have, how long did it take to do the videos, and, you know, did you have fun making them?
No.
I was going to say they had an awful time.
Beautiful Weapon took a long time because we filmed a lot of footage. And
it was so hot, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, most of the footage you see, it's mid-July, and it was insanely hot. And but the so much footage that we shot was basically test footage. Mm. And I would say 80 to 90% of what we shot ended up on the cutting room floor, because it just was difficult to do. Although Eve had a pretty good cameraman who shot the stuff that you see on the Beautiful Weapon video.
Who did all the producing of it?
We did overall, but we had a video editor who, you know, did all the color grading and special effects and stuff like that. Because a lot of, there's actually more CGI in that video than we ever thought would be possible. I mean, there's a lot of CGI smoke and lighting effects, as well as those birds you see in there. Those are all CGI.
Oh, so. Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I think their CGI is a good thing, although it, just like with anything else, at least in the genre of movies, sometimes they use a little bit too much. I know sometimes you have to, because if you don't have what you need, what do you, you know,
and yeah, you need to use it. Yeah, there's a lot of times you can't physically throw a car the way that they throw it in a movie.
True.
The practical applications, it's not,
yeah,
not feasible, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had the budget to get somebody else to produce it from beginning to end. Because, yeah, that first video took a long time. I think it turned out nice, but it was just painstaking. There's no other way to describe it, really.
Yeah, but we're also comparing it to the conspiracy video, which took about 45 minutes.
Right.
True. I'm sure you like that one.
I had a plane to catch that morning, and we were like, let's knock out this video.
Right. Let's do it. Get it done.
No, I bet you wish all videos were that fast, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
So as far as shows, how many of you guys been doing, and are you just going to stay local to your area?
Like, how hard is it for you guys to get together to go out and do shows?
It's, I mean, we can definitely get local shows with no problem. It's just a matter of, does it make sense for us, right, that, you know, to take that certain show? So right now we're looking at a couple of local ones we're considering, and then we are looking at going to other cities. We have a couple of shows in the works in other cities in North Carolina. We would like to go out of state. Mm-hmm. Where? I don't know yet, but we're trying to just kind of expand and go left and right in North Carolina for now.
Right. Yeah. Are there, I've never been out to North Carolina and stuff, so, and specifically the Raleigh area. Are there a lot of venues? Like, what is the scene like?
Are they more coffee shop venues, yeah, or are they this medium size?
They're the medium size. Yeah, I mean, there are a number of venues that will hold 150 to 200 type of thing. I guess, let me think. I don't know how many the 506 holds, but it's probably about the same. Yeah, about 200. So, yeah, I would say there are a number of venues that are somewhere in that range, 150 to 200, 300. And those are mainly the ones that we've played. And we're trying to currently get into opening slots at bigger venues that hold more along the lines of 700 to 1500. So if we could get an opening slot in one of those,
yeah,
that would be a big thumbs up from us.
Yeah.
Who would your dream band be to open up for?
Yeah, who would you guys like to, your ideal tour list?
I think Paul and I would have different answers.
I'm sure.
I don't know. I think we would fit in really well with the kind of like Breaking Benjamin, 3 Days Grace scene.
Yeah.
So I would love to be on a tour like that. That would be an ideal situation, something, or one of the like, you know, I don't know. They're not as progressive anymore. What do they call themselves? They're like electronic rock pop groups. I don't know what they're calling themselves. It's like alt pop.
Oh, okay.
People are really gravitating towards that, even though a lot of it kind of sounds the same.
Yeah.
But I think we could be kind of a breath of fresh air to open for any of those bands.
You mean like an Imagine Dragons type thing?
Yeah, they're a little more on the pop side, but the
there's just this weird not named, I guess, space in the market right now that's where it's more like modern alternative pop rock, where there's like heavier elements, but it's very, very upbeat and catchy.
Kind of like maybe like an Icy Stars or Sleeping with Sirens, kind of.
Yes, or like the I Prevail or something like that.
Yeah, where it's not like quite new metal, because it has more...
A little pop, more poppy than new metal. Yeah.
Right, because I don't think we are quite metal. We're like, we have a lot of catchy elements too, but we're a little heavier than those bands.
Yeah.
Like a melodic rock type sound.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I know you guys have toured with Illusions of Grandeur, which we're going to be interviewing Maggie and CM coming up later today. And then Reign of Z, which we actually are good friends with Z. And why are you shaking your head at me? You're shaking your head.
We haven't toured with those.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay. Oh,
you're
never
getting,
mind.
You're getting our two mixed.
I am too. See, this Illusion is the issue.
Grandeur
I'm old.
Has played with Rain
okay,
Z.
Never mind. I'm just going to, yeah. That's, I guess it's a problem if you do like three interviews in one weekend, your brain gets a little scrambled. But I just, even though you haven't toured with them, I could see you touring with Reign of Z. I could see you playing with Illusions of Grandeur, because you guys kind of have that, like, that a little bit of the progressive, a little bit of that, the melodic elements. And I think those stylistic, those bands stylistically, and it doesn't matter that they do have female led singers, but just for on a stylistic, you know, template, I think you guys would fit, you know, really well with those particular bands. That, you know, we've heard perform and kind of do have that similar sound.
Yeah, and I think what we've noticed is we have the ability to play with a number of styles. Mm-hmm. So we can, we've played with emo bands, we've played with heavier bands. So it kind of gives us a little bit of versatility in that respect. Yes. But I think we would both agree we'd love to tour with a giant band like a Paramore or an Evanescence.
Yeah.
But I think if we toured with Paramore, it wouldn't make sense really, because we're probably maybe a little too similar there in you know, some respects, but
sure.
You know, you would obviously jump at any chance like that.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you turn that down?
Right. Like, no, I'd rather not tour with that national band. You know, I'll pass.
We're going to have to pass. We sound a little too much alike. I'm sorry.
Oh, goodness. So what, kind of like, what are the plans coming up here?
Yeah, what's in the works
for
you guys right now?
Other than the tour, you know, trying to get some dates and stuff like that.
Well, we are going to work on, well, I've been on the social media side trying to, you know, work on gaining numbers in the fan base, because... Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a chicken and egg scenario. You got to have the fans to get the shows, but you need the shows to get the fans. Wow. So
right.
We are really working hard on the social media side and getting content up. And in that respect, you're going to see us release a couple of songs, some of them professionally recorded, some maybe a little more impromptu.
Sure.
We're going to do that kind of thing to try to gain some online attention. But we're certainly working hard right now to book things for the summer. Cause right now is when everything is being planned. And if you wait too late,
yep,
the bigger opportunities are just all booked up for the summer. So
yeah, they go bye-bye.
Have you attended?
Yeah. And you may or may not see a reimagined version of one of the songs from the EP come out in the next few months too. So that'll be exciting.
Hey,
nice.
I'm excited.
Well, the big thing right now is festivals. Have you guys, you know, been pushing to try to get on any of the festival lineups?
I have been talking to some booking agents about that, and nothing yet. But yeah, that's like it comes back to the whole idea of, okay, well,
what are your numbers?
What can you bring as far as leverage to the table? You know, so.
Yeah, how many people are you going to draw in? I know I really hate the numbers game. I understand why it's there, but it's annoying on our end as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'd be curious if I can ask a question. What sure. Is there a song off the EP that really appealed to you guys?
I think for me, the one that I really feel drawn to is The Story. And that's we're finding a lot of bands that we're talking to. They have kind of like a story element to their music where each they have a character, like they do a lot of character development. So they have a character that kind of. There is a story, and each song is a part of that story. So, but yeah, I like The Story. Okay. I haven't listened to Paramore in a long time. So I'm definitely going to I'm going to listen to your cover and then listen to theirs. But yeah. And I like the lyric videos too myself because I don't know. I grew up in the generation where you wanted to know the words to a song. You know, like you bought the magazines that gave you the words and then you'd listen to the song and you'd be like, oh, he's saying this and not, you know, not what I thought he was saying.
Or you just make it up.
Yeah. Or you just make it up and make it funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to say the same. I have the same answer as her. I mean, I really like the idea of the characters and development. And, you know, I think every song should have a little bit of a story element to it.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the draws to a lot of country music is there's a story. There's a beginning, middle, and an end. And you see the character, like, even though it's only a 3-minute song, you see a little bit of character development and you get, you know, you hear that story. I know.
Yeah. I know what we're saying.
I know. Sorry.
So, but you guys, I love the melodicness of the music. I think everything is beautifully put together. It does have a flow and a rhythm and I just like music like that. It just, for me, it really speaks to me. And that tends to be, it kind of does remind me a little bit of the progressive rock, like the Dream Theaters and, you know, there's different elements and it's not just like the same elements, different elements at different points in the song. And
well, and I always say I don't like bands that sound like every other band. Yeah. I like bands that you can hear different elements of different types of genres coming in and different artists coming in to create a new sound.
Thank you. Hopefully we fall under that category.
You do.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so.
Well, we should all draw in, but I'm not a musician, but, you know, you should draw inspiration and it should be reflected in your music, not sound like everybody else.
Yeah. You got to fight to be yourself.
Yes.
And really, music is a form of expression, so you really do have to fight to express who you truly are and be unique. And I think
it's a musical identity.
Yeah. I think if you do it uniquely and real, you're real and people will be drawn to that. Because I think that's what's lost on a lot of people nowadays, unfortunately. And I don't know if I want to say social media is at fault or whatever, but it just people are missing connections. They're missing the ability to connect with one another. And you do that through, for me, for music. It's, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. But it's interesting that you said that about the song then, because that song does really well live.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it. I believe it. Well, thank you guys so, 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 so much. And Paul and Eve, we definitely wish you the best in your endeavor with Infinite Eve. And we will continue to plug you guys on our show.
We wish we could travel more. So hopefully you guys can make it up to Michigan. But otherwise, we won't be able to really catch you. Like I said, we have our own 9-to-5 jobs that we do every day, too. So it's hard for us to get to travel. But yeah, hopefully you guys can come up to Michigan. We can hang out.
Absolutely, and let us know when it goes up. We'll be happy to share it and give you lots of love.
Oh, of course.
Well, we appreciate that. We really do. So, and hopefully you guys have plans for the rest of the day, and you'll have a good rest of the Sunday.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Take care.
All right.
Carry on, my wayward son.
Carry on my wayward soul.
There have been several remakes of that song too, but my favorite is Anthrax redoing that song.
There will Infinite be peace Eve. When you are done.
You have to leave all this awesome non-planned shit in the thing. Anyway, Infinite Eve. Yes.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.